Take your Bible tonight, if you would. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I may move some things around in the verse that we're going to look at tonight. I'm not trying to sidestep anything. It's just that I've got something on my heart I want to share with you tonight. Something I was looking at and was thinking about it today. And I just want to encourage everybody, when you read your Bible, be in a place, this is just a recommendation, be in a place where you can read something and then stop and just think about it. Think about what it's saying. Think about the words that are there. Maybe ask God, the Holy Spirit, to maybe tie some things together with that and so on. We live in modern times, and there's a lot of loudness. There's a lot of things moving around in this world. We don't live like they lived 100 years ago. We've got lots of noises that are made and lots of distractions and so on. And I just want to encourage you, when you read and study, just spend some time thinking about it. And if nothing comes to you, just read some more, think about it, read some more, think about it. And you think, well, that wasn't very productive. Let me tell you a little lesson about God's Word. It's alive. Okay? God's Word is alive. You don't have to understand how peanut butter works in your body. You just know it's good and you eat it. Amen? And I love peanut butter. For some reason, since I've been a diabetic, I love peanut butter, George. Okay? So anyway, just kind of keep that in mind. And here's why I said that, because I was pondering a phrase here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. He's back now talking about the false prophets and the false teachers. And he was identifying them in verses 1, 2, 3, and so on. He was telling you how they worked and what their destruction is going to be and how to spot them. And he says, now he picks it back up in verse 10 after he talks about how for sure they're going to be judged. And in verse 10 he says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and we covered that. And then there's three things here that we're gonna look at. Number one, they despise government, which means they hate authority. They hate anybody having authority over them. They try to treat themselves as if they are sovereign, and that nobody can tell them what to do. And I've got a place that I want to touch on that tonight. Then it says that they are presumptuous, and there's some scriptures that I'm going to give you that's going to explain what presumptuous is and how it's applied. But then it says they are self-willed. And when I was looking at that particular word, I just stopped and I thought about that. What does it mean to be self-willed? And I don't remember the whole thought process that led me to it, but then it's like God pulls out a 3x5 note card out of this filing cabinet system that I have up here in the left side of my brain, and I remembered reading something, and I went, that's it, right there. And I'm going to explain what I mean here in a little bit. In fact, let me just ask you, if you were to just describe someone as self-willed, or what would that entail? How would you see that? Does anybody have an answer to that? Self-willed. It's actually pretty simple. Huh?
Not led by the Holy Spirit.
That's a good one. That's biblical too. Anybody else? Go ahead. No regard for law. That's pretty good. God's law especially. Yes, ma'am. Feel like doing it. Okay, whatever feels right to them. Okay, let me tell you something. I don't expect everybody to know this because you don't read books on the occult. But in the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey said this. Aleister Crowley, who was very, very wicked, evil occultist back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, his motto was, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, whatever you want to do, that's your law. Doesn't matter how it affects anybody else. That is in direct contradiction to the two commandments that we're given by our Savior. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. So do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law is basically self-willed. Who else had something? Anybody? Thought I saw a hand up. All right. Let's look at this for a minute. I'm going to tell you where to turn here. Oh, I got too many verses to tell you where to turn. Let me read a couple. You can go to John chapter 5 and 6, and that'd be a good place to start out. John chapter 5, verse 30, and I'll give you a couple seconds to get there. And those of you who use a tablet to look them up, it's a lot quicker. Unless you are the Bible sword champion. Anybody know how, remember Bible sword drills? We ought to do that every now and then. John chapter 5, verse 30. Here is Jesus, and he is the anti-self-willed Messiah. And here's what he says in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Jesus was our example in all things, was he not? He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will. And he just almost says it word for word. I am not self-willed. All right? And he says, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If you remember from Hebrews chapter 10, which was quoting a place out of the Psalms, to describe Jesus and the words that he speaks before he leaves heaven to come to the earth. And he says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God, which means two things. Number one, Jesus was going to, whatever Jesus did was following the book. Number two, he was following the will of his Father. He was doing what his Father asked, what his Father required, what his Father said. His Father said, go and be a lamb of sacrifice, and Jesus went and did it willingly, knowing what was ahead, but looking beyond the pain and the suffering of the cross, looking to the glory that awaited him on the other side, and he did that. So that's not just idle talk and religious talk that Jesus is giving. He actually showed it by his example. He says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So this is in opposition to false prophets who are self-willed. Whereas instead of wanting to know what God's will is, they seek about to do their own will. And there's something that I'm going to read to you. It's going to make sense here in a minute. All right? John chapter 6, verse 38. Turn there. He's going to say it again. He's going to say it almost word for word, exactly what he said earlier. And again, it corresponds to Hebrews 10. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. John 6, 38. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. Was there ever a time when Jesus had a question or a statement about following God's will versus what he wanted to do? Did Jesus ever struggle with doing God's will? Did he? Absolutely. Luke chapter 22. Turn there. Turn there. Mark this in your Bible. Underline it. You can put in here, write in there, self-will. On the verses there, John 5, 30, John 6, 38. You can write the opposite of self-willed. If you've got room in there, just make little notes, however you're going to remember it. Because Jesus was our example showing us. And I'll say this, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Amen? If Jesus did it, why can't I? If he lived this way, why shouldn't I live this way? And he's our model to follow after. All right? So Luke chapter 22, the scene here is the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus has gone away from his disciples to pray. And he's praying and he's crying out to his Father. The Bible tells us that the scene was that he was such fervent in prayer that the drops of sweat that were coming out of his face had blood in it. He had great sweat drops of blood coming down his face. He was in agony in prayer, knowing what was coming. And the Bible's, I like this one. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'll tell you who the righteous man is. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? And when he prays, God listens to him. Amen? God loves his Son, does he not? And Jesus had taught us already that he said, that if you fathers, he said, if your son came to you and said, you know, Dad, can I have some fish? And you gave him a scorpion instead? Of course, some of you boys would be going, cool, a scorpion. Anyway, he said, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your to your children, how much more your Father which is in heaven give you good gifts. God's not evil. God will do things for His children. Somebody say amen. But His children need to understand that He's God. He's the Father. He has authority. And He sent us to do His will, and it's His will that we're going to do. So look at the words in your Bible, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Here's what He's saying. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. The cup that He was speaking about was the agony of the cross, what was coming to Him, the scourging, the thorns. They buffeted at Him. They spit on Him. They mocked Him. They hung Him on a cross to suffocate Him in an agonizing manner for hours while everybody looked on. Made a spectacle in front of everybody. And He knows this is coming. And so His being the human that He was, and He was fully man and fully God. Amen? I can't explain it. That's who He was. And being the human that He was, He knew the weakness of the flesh. And so I believe He's praying this, not just as a cry out from His weakness, but also as an example to us as well. How many of us have said, God, I don't want to go through this. God, I'm not wanting to go through this. But God, I trust You. My flesh doesn't want to. My flesh wants to run. But God, I trust You. So here's Jesus. If Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Jesus, though His flesh was wanting one thing, Jesus was willing to submit to the will of the Father in a situation where His flesh wanted one thing, but His spirit says, no, I need to follow God. I need to do what God tells me to do. He's doing that as an example to us. Somebody say amen. I like this. Okay, now, first time I ever ran into this, several years ago, we had, it was when we had our daycare, we had a young family that had a little boy. They were bringing him, and I don't remember how it all worked out. I think they asked and wanted me to come out, and I went out to their house and talked to them about Jesus, and they were both willing to accept the Lord and prayed right there in their living room, and boy, we're just happy, you know, amen, praise the Lord. Got them started in church here, and had a baptism for them on a Sunday night, and before the service, she had invited some of her, I think it was her brother and sister or law or her sister and brother-in-law or something like that. Anyway, she invited them. They went to a church up here, St. Louis somewhere, and they came in. And I'll tell you something. A lot of times you can recognize there's a different spirit in people. Yeah. And I'm shaking their hands, and I'm just going, I think I know who these people are. And sure enough, they were charismatic. And I thought, this is going to be trouble. Because if they start talking to this young couple, not knowing the truth of the Word of God, just accepting what I told them by the Word of God, by faith for salvation, if they're not careful, they're going to get pulled away. And that's exactly what happened. And what really made it clear to me was, the ladies was having a Bible study here. I can't remember what night it was, but they was having a Bible study, and this woman came. And she had already been given a brand new Bible by this family member. And it was the Spirit-filled Life Study Bible. It was a charismatic Bible. What that is you got the text of the Bible, but then you have all these notes. In some cases, the notes are more than the scriptures on the page. All these commentaries about what all these verses really mean and how you should believe in this and that. And they called me that night because a discussion had broke loose about is everybody supposed to live in perfect health? Are we supposed to be sick as Christians? And that came up, and I knew where it came from. And this woman had brought her new Bible, and they were studying a portion of scriptures, and the comments in there, they were telling me this on the phone. They said, the comments in her Bible say this, and she read it to me. And in this Spirit-filled Life Bible, they were saying, do not ever say the words, if it be thy will, O God, in your prayer. Do not ever say that. That is a faith-killing prayer, and God will do nothing for you if you put those words in your prayer. And I'm hot. And I told the lady on the phone, I said, the Bible study ends now. You ladies pack your stuff up and go home, and I'm going to deal with this. That was the last time those people ever came to this church. That family member of theirs, 2 weeks, and they were yanked out over this charismatic deal and over believing nonsense like that. Okay? Let me read to you some things I found on the internet. I typed this in, and I'm going to read to you some people that you've heard of that believe that lie. Here is, let's see here. Where is all my notes here? Okay, I know who that is. Here we go. Benny Hinn. Here's what Benny Hinn said. Benny Hinn said, never, ever, ever go to the Lord and say, if it be thy will. He said, don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. That's what he said. Here is another one. Frederick K.C. Price. He says, if you have to say, if it be thy will, or thy will be done, if you have to say that, then you're calling God a fool because He is the one who told us to ask. That's what he said. Here's Jesse Duplantis, who to me is nothing but a big clown. Very well-paid clown, but he's a big clown. He's from down in, I think, New Orleans area. Here's what Jesse Duplantis said. Jesse Duplantis said, I can honestly say that the Lord has done everything I have prayed for. That's what he said. Okay? Here is another one. This is a commentary I found online about, let's see here, who's this about? This is about the woman asking Jesus to heal her daughter who was vexed with the devil. And the guy writing the commentary says, she never prayed, if it be thy will. She pressed in for her request by faith and received it. Jesus expects His people to ask in faith, knowing His will to heal, deliver, and save. Then he goes on to say, I'm sure no one ever asks for forgiveness of sins prefaced with, if it be thy will. Jesus made it clear it was that He was willing and able to do both. The woman asking Jesus to heal her daughter who was vexed, and that's what that story's about, all right? And then, here's the grandfather of them all. This is Finis Dake, who wrote in his Dake Annotated Bible, it is sinful to pray if it be thy will. Notice, he's not just recommending against it. He's telling you it's a sin to say it. He said, if it be thy will concerning anything that God has promised to men, this kind of praying is a prayer of unbelief and it will never be answered. It does not take God at His word. It does not believe that God means what He says. It calls Him into question concerning the things He has many times assured all men that they can have if they will only have faith. Thus, one should never pray such prayers as, if it be thy will, save this man or forgive me of his sins. If it be thy will, heal this man and make him well. If it be thy will, supply my needs and make me a success in business. Or, if it be thy will, please give me what you have promised. In fact, this phrase, if it be thy will, should never be used in ordinary praying for any good thing in life for which God has already made a promise. He said it was a sin to say that in your prayers. That's heresy. That's blasphemy. Amen. Let me read to you again what our Savior said in the Garden of Gethsemane before He laid down on the cross. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. That's what our Savior said. If Thou be willing, if it be Thy will. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And it angers me. It angered me the night that they called me and told me what was going on there. And I did. I said, the Bible study's over. Because I knew that there was a Jezebel spirit inside of that mess. And I did not want that going on inside my church. Not going to put up with it. That's what the definition of self-willed is. Remember, Peter's telling us how to identify the false teachers and the false prophets. And the identifying mark, one of them is, they are self-willed. Which means that, and all you got to do is listen to these people. Joyce Myers, same thing. That's what you're going to get out of them. You're going to get this, if you pronounce positive words, then positive things are going to happen. If you pronounce negative words, negative. Tammy's back there shaking her head. You heard them say it, didn't you? If you pronounce negative words, then negative things are going to happen to you. And you never ask God if it's His will that you have $1 million, or if it's will that you be healed all the time, or if it's will that, and all this stuff, and it makes me angry. Dake is one of those who espoused the idea that if you were a born-again Christian, you should never, ever be sick with any kind of illness. And if you ever got sick, you just proclaimed it out in Jesus' name, and it should be gone. And if it doesn't leave, it's because you didn't have enough faith. And he equates physical body healing with salvation. If you are saved, then you will always be healed. And if you are sick, it's obvious that you're not saved. You've lost your salvation. And that was his ministry. And he was the grandfather of guys like Benny. When Benny Hinn's quoting this, he's quoting Dake. When Duplantis said that, he's referring to Dake. When K.C. Price said that, he was referring to Dake. Dake, Finnis Dake, died of Parkinson's disease. It's that motor neuron disease that Michael J. Fox has. It takes years for Parkinson's disease to kill somebody. The last several months of their life is in absolute, utter pain. And according to Dake's own words, he did not have enough faith to make his disease to go away. I think God gave him that disease as a testimony against what he taught. Let me hear you say amen. So let me show you what else the Scripture says. James chapter 4. You might want to turn there. All you got to do is read the Bible. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 15. I heard that, John. James chapter 4, verse 15. I'm just going to unload on some verses here in a little bit that just absolutely deny that very dangerous doctrine. And let me tell you what's at the core of it. While you're turning to James 4, at the core of that doctrine is the belief that now that you're saved, you are a God. You are a God. And you have powers in your mouth to create and destroy, just like God does. And you can create your own wealth, or you can destroy your own wealth or your own health. It's what comes out of your mouth. And since you are your own God, you don't need to worry about whether or not something is God's will. It just is going to be your will. And remember what Satanic Bible said. Remember what Aleister Crowley said. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That goes hand in hand with that doctrine that says, don't ask God if it's His will. You just pronounce it and believe it, that it is God's will. Never mind, don't even ask Him. And God has to do it. What it does is it makes God the forceful servant to your will. And there's some people, Finnis Dake's one of them, Oral Roberts is another one, Kenneth Hagin is another one, that have died, and I guarantee you they stood before God and God said, who are you? I never knew you. Because they had the idea that God was subservient to their demands and their words. That's what they said. Where did I tell you to go? James chapter 4, verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. I mean, James pretty much said it. This is how you pray. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He's telling you right here that when you pray, you ask if it's, you ask for God's will. God, I want your will. You know what? You know why I do that? Because I know for a fact I'm not smarter than God. I don't know everything in the world that's good for me or good for my family or good for this church. I don't know those things. But I know God does. And He's proved it over and over and over and over again. And I'm just telling you, I have things and issues that I'm praying to God about this week that I want God to do. But I follow everyone. God, You're in charge. God, You do what glorifies You, what honors You, what praises You. And if it's against what I'm praying, I trust You enough to know that if You don't do what I ask You to do, You're going to do something better than what I ask to do, and I'll take that.
Amen.
Amen. That's what James said. It, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. And I'm going to tell you what, it don't take you long to watch that crowd that goes around proclaiming everything like they own everything and taking dominion over everything. They're boasting about their alleged godlike power that they have where they can just speak it and it has to happen. There's boasting in that. And James said it was evil. Can I hear God's people say amen? I'm a little bit more up over this thing than you are. Acts chapter 18, verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. That was the Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. And this will we do, if God permit. It's all through the Scriptures. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Hey, whatever happened to you yesterday, I guarantee you it was God's will. You know how I know? It happened. Amen? I don't care if it's bad. If it happened, God allowed it. God's the governor. He's the supreme ruler. He's the one who says, this is how I want it to be. By the way, something else about Dake and some of these other guys. They believe that God is limited in His knowledge, that God does not know everything that goes on in human history. He has to have it reported to Him by His angels and by His servant. Getting a little upset here. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You heard me say this the other day. God ordained that you and I be living in this time right now. God ordained it. Okay? And a guy sent me an email today. You gotta listen to PMO tomorrow. You gotta listen to it. A guy sent me an email today, and I looked at it and I went, he's right! And it's something about what's going on in science and technology and what's in the Bible. And this man got it. I mean, and I never thought about it. I'm not gonna tell you what it is. You have to listen tomorrow. Okay? But I'm just telling you, God ordained us to live in this time right now to see the things in this Bible come to pass. Can I hear you say amen? That was done by God's will. Remember when Paul said, for the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly. What that means is, we're all growing old and we're fading away. And if it's up to us, we'd be 20 years old again. Wouldn't you like to have the wisdom of your old age now and have that 20-year-old body to go with it? Shoot! Amen!
Yeah.
Okay? Now we got all the good ideas, we just can't carry them through. See, He made us subject to vanity, but not willingly on our part. But the reason why He did that was to subject us in hope that we got a better body and a better place to live on the other side. Somebody say amen. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just because they call themselves Christians, that don't mean they are. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 21:31, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Mark chapter 3, verse 35, for whosoever should do the will of God, the same as my brother. I already read that. That's a different place. John chapter 1, verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God. You were born by God's will. John, and you just agree. You just said, you know what, God, that sounds like a good idea. I think I will be saved. Amen? That they'd have you believe that God's sitting up there powerless to even save you until you released Him by your faith-filled words. By the way, that's witchcraft.
Amen.
Witchcraft teaches that there's all this force going on around, this earth, air, fire, and water, and all these, and what that really is principalities, powers, rules of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what those four elements are. And witchcraft teaches that you can, these powers are bound up, and you can release those powers by the incantation that comes out of your mouth. That's charismatic, word faith, name it, claim it, positive words, witchcraft. And Joyce Myers is the leading witch of it all. She is. Okay? She is. You can send her this video. She probably won't watch it. Okay? Anyway, I got something I'm wanting to say, but I promised the guy I wouldn't say it. I'm holding something back, all right? Don't even ask me either, okay? Anyway, let's see here. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. We read that a while ago. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. John Acts chapter 13, verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid under our fathers and saw corruption. Everything that David did was by the will of God. You say, well, what about Bathsheba? God knew it. God knew it. And I don't want to get into the whole thing about Bathsheba and adultery, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying you can go out and commit adultery and it'd be okay. What I'm telling you is it happened and God allowed it and it was part of His overall plan. He says to us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. David loved the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. God allowed this thing to happen as part of His great big picture to do several things that I can think of. Number one, He was going to not allow David to build a temple. He was going to have the son that came out of his bowels. Typically, that was Solomon. Antitypically, or the fulfillment of that, is Jesus Christ, who's going to come back and build His own temple with His own hands. Okay? The other thing it did was, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet came to him and said, the sword shall never depart from thy house. And from that moment forward, here's Absalom, or Amnon, who rapes his own sister. Absalom has him killed. Then Absalom goes after his father's throne and takes it for a while, has David on the run. And then Absalom is killed. And then Solomon comes along, and it doesn't happen in Solomon's lifetime. But after Solomon gets off the scene, Rehoboam now has the 10 tribes, and Jeroboam had the two. The whole nation of Israel split. And it stayed that way, and it's that way to this day. But God's going to put them all back together. He promised in Ezekiel chapter 37. See, that one thing fulfilled the greater will of God. Does that make sense to everybody? We can only see little pieces of it at a time, usually as they're happening. Amen? But God looks at it and says, don't worry. I got it. In fact, I've had it before you even came along. I had it. I like it. I like believing in a God like that. Romans 10, making my request. Here's Paul. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Paul was submissive to the will of God. Romans 8:27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8 and that whole area, 8:27, is about how we don't know what to pray. So the Bible, if these guys tell us that we have to know exactly what we want, and we have to name it specifically, and don't use negative words, use only positive words, and don't say, if it be thy will, God, oh God, because that just destroys the whole thing. If they say that, and yet the Bible tells me that I don't know what to pray, who am I going to believe?
Amen.
I got to believe the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible says I don't know what to pray. And I've prayed for things, and I'd say, God, I need you. God, help! I don't know what to even ask you. I don't even know how to pray this thing, but God, I need help. And every time, God comes in and He helps. And when He does, you look at it and go, how in the world did that ever happen? Did you see, I put this on, did you see that as a news story, it's a news video from some kind of local news channel. Down in Texas, a woman got caught up in them floodwaters in her car. And they had a camera trained on it the whole time. Somebody with a cell phone video or something like that. All the windows was rolled up on this vehicle, and she's in there screaming for help because she can't get the doors open and she can't swim. And so these guys are jumping into water and they're climbing all over this vehicle. And one guy with something in his hand, and he is desperately trying to break one of the glass open, break it open so he can pull her out. Next thing you know, this thing goes underwater. And you see all these guys on top of this thing, but you don't see anything going on. Well, there was one guy, and they know who he was. There was one guy said he was reaching down there, and he reached in there and he felt her hand and he pulled her out and brought her to safety. And when they hooked onto that car and pulled it out, every window in that car was still rolled up and intact. And the man himself said, "I have no idea how I ended up with her hand in mine pulling her out, because I knew those windows were shut."
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Yeah! Who can figure that one out? Amen? I don't know what that is, but I'm just telling you. When they say God works in mysterious ways, He usually does, and we just go, "God, that's awesome." We serve a good God. Amen?
Amen?
We serve a God. I don't know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John. "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So you know what that tells me, Brother George? These guys who say, "Don't ever put 'if it be thy will' in your prayers," those guys don't abide forever. They perish.
Amen.
Because they will not submit themselves to the will of God. That is the height of the doctrine of witchcraft. Modern Wicca, modern witchcraft, has 13 principles. Think about that number. The sixth principle in modern day Wicca, this is something they all agree to, is that Wiccans do not submit to any hierarchical authority. In other words, nobody is our Lord. Nobody is. That sounds like Finis Dake and Jesse Duplantis and Benny Hinn and that whole crowd. They're telling God what they want Him to do. Well, if they're such gods, let them do it themselves. Amen?
Amen.
On their own planet that they made. Amen? Get them off ours. Amen. Stand to your feet.